ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, which is entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed, Text 42.
Adyovatara Purusha Parasya Kala Svabhava Sarasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Gunahindriyani Virat Svarat Stasnu Charishnu Burma Adyo Vatara Purusha Parasya Kala Svabhava Sarasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani Virat Svarat Stasnu Charishnu Bhumna Adyo Vatara Purusha Parasya Kala Svabhava Sarasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani
Virat Swarat Stasnu Charishnu Gumna. Adya, first, avatarah, incarnation, purusha, karananarna vashai vishnu, parasya, of the Lord, kala, time, sabhava, space, sat, result, asat, cause, manaha, mind, cha, also, dravyam, elements, vikaraha, material ego, gunaha, modes of nature, indriyani, senses, virat, the complete whole body, svarat, Garbhodakashai Vishnu. Stasnu. Immovable. Charishnu. Movable. Bhumnaha. Of the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Karananar Napasai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And He is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhodakashai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Purport. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times herein before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya, or illusion. It is called illusion because the living beings, under the clutches of Maya, are not factually enjoyers, although they think that they are, being illusioned by Maya. Such illusioned living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature, and they are imparted lessons from the Vedas about their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna, Vadas Chasarvai Aham Eva Vidya. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord, and to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates him as the Karanar Navasai Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. This Karanodakashai Vishnu causes the manifestation of material creation by looking over his material energy, Sai Akshata. In the first volume of this book, we have already discussed to some extent the explanation of the verse Jagre Purusham Rupam. The duration of the illusory play of material creation is called a kalpa, and we have already discussed the creations taking place in kalpa after kalpa. By his incarnation and potential activities, the complete ingredients of creation, namely time, space, cause, result, mind, the gross and subtle elements and their interactional modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then the senses and the reservoir source, the gigantic universal form, as the second incarnation, Gaburakashai Vishnu, and all living beings, both moving and standing, which come out of the second incarnation, all became manifested. Ultimately, all these creative elements and the creation itself are but potential manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is independent of the control of the Supreme Being. This first incarnation in the material creation, namely Karanaranavashayi Vishnu, is the plenary part of the original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, described in the Brahmi Samhita as follows. Yasya kanishvasiti kalam atavalamba jivanti loma vinaja jagaranda nata Vishnur mahasayuha yasya kalavishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. All the innumerable universes are maintained only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu, O Karanara Navashayi Vishnu, who is only a plenary part of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Omakyanti Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees that our words may be aligned with Guru Parampara. May hearing Srimad Bhagavatam together bring pleasure to Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. May all the devotees be benefited. Again, this is Canto 2, Chapter 6, which is entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed, Text 42. Karanarvashnavashai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhodakashai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. So this chapter is called Purusha Sukta Confirmed. And these prayers, the Purusha Sukta, are found in the Rig Veda. We know that they're recited for many of the different Vedic ceremonies. This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam corresponds to those prayers. So originally found in the Rig Veda, but the verses in this chapter are similar. Some verses are almost word for word. So it's confirming the Purusha Sukta prayers from the Rig Veda. Because Narada Muni previously he asked Brahma questions. Yata Srishtam. He asked him, how was this universe created? And Brahma begins to glorify his Lord, Garbhodakashai Vishnu. So the Purusha Sukta prayers, Prabhupada mentions in a purport, the Purusha Sukta prayers are a glorification of Garbhodakashai Vishnu. But here, Brahma is also, he's able to see the whole picture. You know, we know there are different, the Lord expands himself in different ways. So here we're talking about Mahavishnu. Karanodakashai Vishnu. And Brahma, he's able to see everything. How is that possible? Well, he mentions in the previous verse, Munaya Prashanta, that when a person's mind becomes peaceful and their senses are controlled, then they're able to see the whole truth. They're able to see the absolute truth. You know, we all come to conclusions. Everyone has their opinion about life and about God and the universe. But we never stop to think that to really know these things, my consciousness needs to be purified first. We just go right to our opinions and our arguments as we are. We have our conclusions about life. But in this previous verse, Brahma is saying the qualification. What is the adhikar? What is the qualification to actually know the absolute truth? Munaya prashanta. The mind becomes sanctified, peaceful, and then one can see. You know, like if someone asks you, what do you see before you? And you have glasses on that are distorted or dirty or foggy, then you'll say something, you'll say what you see, but it won't be truly what's in front of you because of that distortion. So in the same way, our consciousness, if it's foggy, if it's distorted, if it's polluted, we can't say anything about reality. We can figure out certain things of the material nature, the material energy. But anything beyond that is just a block, a wall. So even though everyone has their opinion of life and of truth and of God, what do you believe? This is what I believe. But there's a need to purify consciousness to actually see. And if we don't have that, if we're not in that situation, then we can hear from those who have done so. And that's the great blessing that we have, to come in contact with great souls who actually see. So Lord Brahma, he knows and he experienced Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, but he's also pointing out the whole process of creation. He's able to tune into the truth. You know, the rishis of the Vedas, they're not the founders of the Vedas. Apurusheya, it says that the Vedas are not founded by any person. But by purified consciousness, they tune in to the eternal vibration of the Veda. It's eternal truth that's always there, existing in another dimension. And when the consciousness tunes into it, you can catch it. Prabhupada says that sometimes, to catching the truth. You know, a nice example is the cell phone. You know, there's so much information around us right now. And there's an information field with so much. And the cell phone can catch it and tell you what's happening right now anywhere in the world. All kinds of news and information is available because it's actually in the ether. But we don't have a mind that catches it, but a phone can do that. But formerly, these rishis were like telephone. They were like cell phones. You know, by their purified intelligence, they could actually catch the truth and then they would speak it and recite it. Previous verse is very nice because it's pointing out the importance of controlled senses and a purified mind to actually see what's happening in this creation. It's not by tarka, it says in the previous verse. Tarka means like argument or logic, you know. And the verses of the Vedas, which is so amazing, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these different scriptures, these verses are not about the subject matter. They are actually one with the subject. You know, it's like when Prabhupada sings, you know. I love how Prabhupada sings, Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha liksha viteshu. He's singing about, you know, the spirit. It's a description of the spiritual world. So we think this is a nice verse. It's about the spiritual world. But actually the vibration, it is the spiritual world. It's hard for our minds to understand that point. But with a purified consciousness, as you're reciting these verses, it's the reality of it right there in sound form. So the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it's not just about things like the soul and about things like God and about the creation, but by the verses themselves contain the reality. I mean, that's amazing. I haven't heard this description in any other religion or scripture of the world describing how it's... Because we just take it as, you know, maybe it's informational. But these, with purified consciousness, when you sing Brahma Samhita, you're actually in touch with everything that you're saying. It's darshan of the spiritual world when you chant that verse, Chintamani. So it's the power of the scripture. Therefore, it's the ultimate authority. It's the ultimate authority above logic, above arguments, what our senses tell us. All of these are faulty. So what is the supreme way of knowing the truth? It's the scripture, and in a consciousness that's purified, or hearing from one who has purified consciousness, hearing the scripture, then one gets an experience of the truth. Then one can truly know. So it's described that Krishna is eternally enjoying his pastimes and his activities in the spiritual world. And he expands his pastimes into this material creation. So when the creation unfolds, there are stages. Sometimes it's said there are four primary stages of the creation. And each stage of the creation corresponds to a form of the Lord. It's amazing that Krishna does it this way. You know, these four forms are called the Chaturvyuha. This is, you know, interesting subject matter. It's Vedantists and Vedanta philosophers, they have a lot of discussion about this topic of the Chaturvyuha. And it's very mysterious. But why are they discussing it? Why get into all the details of these forms of the Lord who manifest in this creation at different phases? Because it's the science of God. They're discussing the science of God and His energies and how things work. And so there's a purification from just discussing about God in that way, understanding these different personalities. You know, Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Pradumna, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha. These are four forms of the Lord that have a relationship to the four stages of creation. You know, and they also have a connection to us. You know, they have the subtle body has a relationship to these personalities. Like it's described that if you have problems with your mind, anyone have problems with your mind? So who is the Lord of the mind? Lord, there's a manifestation of the Lord who is the Lord of the mind. He's Aniruddha, one of the Chaturvyuha. His name is Aniruddha. He's the master and the Lord of the mind. So if you struggle in your mind, prayers can be offered to Lord Aniruddha. Of course, we know go to Krishna for everything, so we don't have to... We go to Krishna for everything, and that's fine. But it's amazing how the Lord also, for each part of this material world, there's a form you can approach that specifically deals with that. So Aniruddha is the Lord of the mind. Pradumna is the Lord of intelligence. You know. And then Sankarshan is the Lord of the false ego. Ego. Sankarshan. This is why, you know, Lord Shiva also, he has his relationship to Sankarshan, right? Lord Shiva is like a devotee of Sankarshan. And he also, we hear that Lord Shiva removes the false ego. It's because of his relationship with Sankarshan. Because Sankarshan is the actual master of the ego. So Shaivites, those who worship Lord Shiva, if they have a proper understanding that we worship Lord Shiva, his Lord is Sankarshan, then through the worship of Lord Shiva, they can also remove their false egos. At least to the extent of removing, you know, Maya. And becoming liberated. So these forms, these four forms, Chaturvyuha, and then the Purusha avatars that we're hearing about here, right? Karuna Dakashai Vishnu, Garbha Dakashai Vishnu, Shiro Dakashai Vishnu. These three are expanding from three of the Chaturvyuha. You know, so from Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu. This is what we're hearing about in today's verse. This details about Mahavishnu, who is also called Karunodakashai Vishnu. And so, looking at today's verse, it's described that, you know, what he's the master of, this form. You know, he lies in the causal ocean. He's in a state of yoga nidra. This is why we sleep, you know? It's interesting. We're little imitations of God. We're like little tiny reflections and forms. And what God does, we do. You know, so we all, it's so interesting, right? We go to sleep at night. Why is that part of reality? Because it's a pastime of the Lord. It's Mahavishnu. He's in a state of sleep. It's not like our sleep. Our sleep is the mode of ignorance. But his sleep is like a transcendental state. But it's something like sleep. Yoga Nidra. And he's in that state. Yes, he represents deep sleep. Actually, this is also in Sixth Canto Bhagavatam. That he is the... Mahavishnu is the... he represents the... Sushupti. Sushupti Shakti. The energy of deep sleep. That's why also it's said sometimes in some places that when we're in deep sleep, we reconnect to Mahavishnu. Have you heard that? When we're in a state of deep sleep without dreams, then there's a way in which we unite back with Mahavishnu, because he's in that state too. He is that Shakti. And when we're dreaming, the dreaming state has its relationship to Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. And when you're awake, this has its relationship to Chirudakashaya Vishnu. So it's a little technical, but it's very interesting, and there's a logic to all of this. And what really it means and why it's valuable to know these things is because at every moment, at every stage of life, every part of us, subtle body, it has a relationship to the Lord. And everything we do, we're only relating with the Lord. And one who knows this, you know, these different phases of life, stages, one can think of the Lord, the form of the Lord that represents that energy. So, he's lying in yoga nidra, and then he casts his glance on the sum total of the material energy, this Mahavishnu. And he infuses everything with his with three things, it says, with kala, svabhava, and karma. So with his glance, he's infusing the sum total of material energy with time. It said that in his glance there is the time factor. There's also the jivas and their destinies, their karma. It's all there in the glance. It infuses the material energy in that way with his glance. And then this, you know, the equilibrium of the material energy is agitated, and it produces what's called the avyakta mahatattva. The mahatattva is this primordial substance, and avyakta, the unmanifest state of that. And then this Mahavishnu, then he, from his body, from his breath, his out-breath, all the universes then come. And then he expands into each of those universes as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. And then again, there's a unfolding of the different elements. And then Lord Brahma gets involved. And what we see, what we're seeing right now, just as matter, and all of this is after Lord Brahma gets involved and helps to create all of these things. So all those other stages of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu's creation and Mahavishnu's creation, we can never see those things. The only persons who can see those things are personalities who, you know, are connected to the Lord and great rishis. They're able to actually see, but we can only see once Lord Brahma begins to create from all these other previous stages, then we have this. We have the life as we know it. But before that, for the ordinary human being, we can see none of this process. So it's said that Karanau Dakashai Vishnu, who we're talking about here, he is the super soul of all the cosmos. Then Garbhodakashaya Vishnu is the super soul of each universe. And then Chirudakashaya Vishnu is the super soul of each living entity in their heart. So it's Chirudakashaya Vishnu who's within us, in the heart. And when we look at this world, you know, you look up at night and you see the stars and this whole universe. The Lord of this whole universe is Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. He's the soul of this universe, so to speak. Now, Prabhupada mentions in this purport, you know, to do all of these things, this whole process of creation, he mentions another verse from previous in the Bhagavatam, Jagre Parusham Rupam. To do all of this, to manage this whole show, Prabhupada says, the Lord accepts the form of a person. You know, he's accepting these forms. He's Mahavishnu is a person. Garbhodakashaya Vishnu is a person. This verse Prabhupada quotes in the purport is from the first canto, third chapter, first verse. Jagre Purusham Rupam. To do all of these things. Krishna is so amazing. To do all these things, he takes the form of a person for each part of it. And what is the purpose of all this? What is the purpose of this creation? This is what Prabhupada is nicely pointing out in this purport. He starts off by speaking about the impermanence of life. You know, because after all, this whole existence, you just imagine, Mahavishnu breathes out. We're right now in the out-breath of Mahavishnu. He's still breathing out, so therefore we all exist here. You know, it's like this out, this long out-breath. Long for us, but for him it's just a moment, just like when we breathe in and out. But for us, it's the whole duration of material existence. And he's breathing out, so we are in that out-breath of the Lord. And then he'll breathe back in, and everything enters back into him. So all the living beings, they come in with the breath, with the in-breath of Mahavishnu, and are stored inside of his body until the next out-breath. Yeah, it's amazing information. And we can just think that. We don't have to, you know, necessarily get into all these technicalities, but we can think, how wonderful is Krishna? How amazing is Krishna? You know, so Prabhupada is mentioning that, yes, this present moment right now, Mahavishnu is breathing out, and then he'll breathe in, everything will be destroyed. So reflecting, you know, we can reflect on the impermanence of this material world. It's very powerful. I was with a woman just the other day, and she just moved here from New York. And she was living in New York her whole life, but she has a brother and a son that live here in Florida. So she decided, you know, she's 61 years old, she decided to come. They were inviting her, come stay with us, you know, we want to be with you. And so she picked up everything and left after being in New York her whole life. And she came here to be right next to her son. Her brother bought her a home right next to him. And they just wanted to, in their old age together, just be together. So she came here. And she was a Catholic. And so she found out, she just arrived, she had everything figured out with her home. And she contacted the Catholic Church, she learned where it was in Gainesville, she started going. She was also part of the Republican Party, I think, in New York, and so she came here and she also wanted to get involved. She had all these plans, that whatever she was doing in New York, now she'll do here. And 2 weeks after being here, she had some pain in her stomach. And she said, that's strange, what is that, maybe... You know, it'll just go away. A couple days pass, this pain increases a little bit. So she goes to the doctor. And the doctor told her that, you know, they examined her for a while and she was getting nervous because she was there 6, 7 hours, 8 hours, and she sensed maybe something is really wrong. She's seeing the concern on the face of the doctor and others, and she said, tell me what's happening, you know. This is a little scary. He said, I'm sorry to give you this news. You have cancer. You have pancreatic cancer. You know, pancreatic cancer, it can be very fast. You know, the amazing thing is she's up, she's talking, she's walking, and she's been told that she probably has less than 5 months to live. And she just moved here. She just got everything settled with her family, and she was so excited and getting involved in different things in the community. 2 weeks. And then this news comes. So her doctor suggested that she go under hospice care. I work for hospice care. So I went and spent time with her recently, and just she told this story to me, and she said, you know, I'm Catholic. I always know I'm going to die. I always know we're passing through this world. We come in and we go out. But she said, but I am so shocked. I am so destroyed right now that this is happening. I was just making all these plans, and she said, I'm at home now writing my funeral. I feel like I'm writing about somebody else because I'm fine right now. You know, I feel like I'm writing about another, I can't even connect to what's happening. I feel like I'm writing something for another person. It's actually me who's dying. You know, and so she was asking me, so what do I do now? What do I do? How should I see this? How can I understand this? How could God do this? You know, sometimes we think, we know why, you know, this, the nature of this world and how it's temporary, but still these questions may come up, may surface into our consciousness. Why this? Why me? Why now? And so she's really struggling, and she was asking me, what do you think is possible for me right now? And I just told her that, just stay open. Stay open through this. It's actually happening. It's actually happening. This prognosis is given of maybe 6 months or less to live. But stay open through all this. Feel whatever you're feeling. Go through it. And stay open that God within your heart can give you some, there could be some opportunity here of going deeper, your connection to Him with your family. Just don't close that door. Don't just be completely resistant, but stay in anticipation of God's grace right now. At least just keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind. You know, she appreciated that. Now, what I was doing, I was thinking of a verse from the Bhagavatam and trying to explain it to somebody who knows nothing about, you know, Vaishnava philosophy, but I was thinking of Lord Brahma's prayer in the 10th canto, Tatenukam Pam Shushamikshamano, that, you know, we have to accept whatever our karma is. So I was trying to encourage her to just accept that this is actually happening. It may take time. I know you just got this news, so whatever you're feeling, feel it. If you're feeling angry, if you're feeling sad, let that come out of you right now. But also trust that there's a plan. There's God's plan, and God can do something for you right now, even though you're going through what seems, you know, the most painful situation of your life, emotionally. But just stay open that God can do something here. You know?
And
she just, you know, she took it in. She took it in, you know? Her eyes were closed when I was speaking, and she was crying, you know? But she was taking it in, and she appreciated it. She said, you know, she was nodding like, yes, you know, because these moments are so powerful for us. If we can get through all the resistance and all the emotions that come up, anger and the devastation, if we might have to go through those stages, but if we can get through them and just say, what is Krishna doing here? What is the opportunity? Prabhupada's pointing out in this purport, there's an that the whole purpose of creation is an opportunity to reconnect to the Lord. We're given a chance. Prabhupada says we're given a chance at intervals. At intervals, because when Mahavishnu breathes back in, chance is gone for some time, then he breathes out, there's another chance. So the coming and going are repeated chances for us to reconnect to the Lord, to purify our consciousness. And so I said, at least just stay open to this, that God could do something even in this situation if you're turning to Him and looking for His guidance, for His mercy. He could do something so wonderful for you in this situation. Because we all have to die. We're all going to be in that exact situation one day, if it's not some random accident, but we're going to be lying there knowing that death is coming very soon. It's something that each one of us has to go through, and this is God's system. We can trust that. God has planned it this way. It's not an accident, and it's not just a punishment either. And on one level, it's the result of, you know, karma turning. But still, even with that, Krishna makes everything in this world is a perfect opportunity to return to Him. So in those moments, in those intense moments of dying or coming closer to death, we can make choices. We can make a decision to Krishna. I realize now I'm not the controller. Completely surrender my heart to You. Please, what is the opportunity right here? Show me how I can serve. Even in this situation, where is the service? And you stay open to Krishna revealing a form of service that's possible at that moment. You know, usually when we're sick and when we're dying, we become self-absorbed. There's no question of asking for service, right? It's all about me. Therefore, we have to practice now when we get sick or some difficulty comes in our life. We have to practice now just accepting it. This is actually happening. This is karma. Krishna, I'm grateful You're doing something here. I may not see and I may emotionally resist it. But what is Your plan here? Show me. And show me how I can serve even in this situation. If we practice that prayer now, in moments of difficulty and of suffering, it's a preparation for when death comes. If you've done it so many times already, your mind can flow in that same direction. If we don't do it at all now, and we expect at the time of death, our mind's going to flow to complete surrender. You know, it may not happen that way. So, the preparation for death is now in the small deaths. You know, all our little sufferings are like small deaths. You lose something. Something changes. You know. So, if we practice this verse, I'll just read it because it's so nice. So much is contained in this verse for us to reflect on. I always see this verse as answering the question, how to suffer. We all have to suffer. It's going to come to us. Krishna says the material world is a place of suffering. But the key to life, one of the keys to life, is that when it comes, how to suffer? What's the consciousness? How to face it? So this is Lord Brahma. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Patiently suffering, whatever's happening, you know, this verse is explaining this is a karmic reaction. Krishna's minimized it as a devotee. Krishna's, and even in the karmic reaction, there's some opportunity in the heart offering obeisances to the Lord, seeking, how can I serve even here? If you have that consciousness, then liberation. You're very close to liberation. So it's our practice, and it's so nice that this, you know, section is very technical, but Prabhupada in this purport, he goes right to this point of the temporary nature of this material world and the opportunity that we all have. While Mahavishnu is breathing out, you know, we have this opportunity to perfect our lives. And we're so blessed to have contact with these great souls, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, the deities, the association of devotees, prasadam. These are all great, great blessings. Inconceivable that it's there. And we just have to take advantage, accept it into the heart, and serve. You know, giving and receiving. We have to master both of those. You know, you have to master giving. We think service is all about giving, and that's true. But also receiving. You know, things have been given to us. How is it received? With a grateful heart. That's the perfection of receiving. So receiving Bhagavatam means to hear Bhagavatam attentively when it's being spoken, that's all. And you're receiving nicely, grateful, Krishna, you're giving us this knowledge, thank you. I give my attention to it. I offer my obeisances to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you're receiving. So just a little thought for Thanksgiving on this day of being thankful and grateful to the great blessings in our lives. And we can meditate on the Lord, how He is everywhere. Every part of His creation. Every phase of our existence. So therefore Lord Brahma is very gratefully, when he's asked these questions by Narada Muni, he's very happy to speak about these different Purusha avatars. Because it's a chance to speak about the Lord, glorify Him, and in this way purify our lives. So we'll stop here. If there are any thoughts, comments, corrections, reflections, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. I think a couple of things. I was thinking it really comes down to trust, and you know, how can we not trust someone who uses everything for our highest good, who is our well-wisher and has supplied us every kind of service and opportunity to grow closer to Him. And then I was thinking also, you were describing the time of death and how that's such a time of disability. But I feel that now. I can't see that well. I can't think that well. I don't have pure love for Krishna yet, so it's already here. So I can use that to go deeper.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for reminding us. Yeah, it's all happening now, right? We're just gradually losing all of these abilities, our minds, our eyes, our ears. Thank you. Yes.
I think this was mentioned, this question was asked in the class a few days ago, but since I'm unclear about it, I'd like to ask again. Aren't the Purusha Shukti prayers also to Shiradaksha Vishnu, that the demigods go to the ocean of milk and they offer these prayers?
I believe you're right, yeah. That's true. That's in the Purusha Shukta prayers. Also, it's described that it seems like there's sections that are about Mahavishnu as well in the Purusha Shukta prayers if you read them. But I found a purport. I can let you know. But there's a purport in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says the Purusha Shukta prayers are about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So I did do a little research and found that. But I think you're right. I think there are elements of Chirudakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu.
Are they different prayers or the same prayers?
Same prayers, in the Purusha Shukta prayers, in the Rig Veda. Yeah, there's like I don't know how many there are. But, yeah, that's where we hear about the universe being a one-quarter portion, and then the other three-fourths are in the spiritual world. That's also in the Purusha Shukta prayers, some of these ideas. But you're right, I have come on, that Chirudakshaya Vishnu is also...
Also, all the Vedas, don't they emanate from Garuda? Garuda's flapping his wings.
I've heard that, yeah. I don't know too much about these details.
Well,
but,
are there any other descriptions that the Vedas come from a different source?
Yeah. Yeah, I also heard, you know, Mahavishnu, when the Vedas personified, you know, come from him when he breathes out, or coming from his pores. One of the first things that come are that, and those prayers are offered.
Somebody just mentioned Lord Brahma. So
yeah.
You have different sources.
Different sources. Yeah. Anyone have something to comment on that? I'm not so sure about all these.
What is the question? Where do they just come from?
Well, it says Veda Pranita Dharmahi. Veda Pranita from the breath. This is in 6th canto.
Wait,
from the what?
Breath.
In the 6th canto. The conversation between Jamadutas and Vishnudutas. So Jamadutas answer, Veda pranihita dharma hi adharma tad viparjaya. So Veda is coming from the breath of the Vishnu.
But it's also mentioned, because I've read the books.
Yeah.
The Veda is from the
flapping of the wings. That's Shama Veda, particular. That the Garuda carries the Lord and he hears the whole Samaveda is like a poetry type of. The whole is flopping.
What about from Brahma? The whole of it is coming from Brahma.
That's coming from the flute that we sing every day. I mean, right after Mangal Arati, in Brahma Sanghita, it says that the flutes produce that sound and it enters to the ear to Brahmaji's 8 ears and it manifests from there also.
That's
Yeah, but it's also Veda. It transforms into Veda. The essence of the Veda is the Gayatri. It's coming. It's also you chanting the Gayatri. Kala ma klim. Well, we should not say this in public. But that's also the flute. It's very, very thoughtful. Thank you for that singing.
Yeah, and we hear the Vedas are apurushaya. They're not coming from any person, that they eternally exist, and they may come this way through this person or this way through that person, but in one sense they're an eternal, it's eternal truth. It drops down into the material level through different ways, but it's also apurushaya, not from a person, which means it's existing eternally. Someone else?
Yeah, that's... You took this, man, this guy stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
That's basically it. I mean, in one sense, we can, you know, analyze that there's this description and that description. I mean, Krishna's unlimited. He's manifesting these things through his unlimited potency. So, you know, this agency, that agency, I mean, it's the same essential source. Wikipedia. No, I mean Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. Earlier in the class, you were mentioning purification, and through purification, we start to see things in a proper perspective. But many places in Prabhupada's books, he talks about the causeless mercy of the Lord. So how does that tie in with purification, actually, until the Lord blesses us with his darshan, his the proper understanding, we stay in illusion. So,
yeah. Yeah, purification doesn't just mean, you know, myself working on myself like that, but it also means receiving these blessings, receiving that mercy. You know, so we have the devotees like Srila Prabhupada, and this is all mercy in a sense, right? Somehow we're blessed with this opportunity. So purification, the spiritual masters and the gurus, they give us instructions of, you know, purifying ourselves. They give certain instructions, even things like no meat eating, no intoxication. We do our best to follow all those things. And in one sense, this is helping to purify the body. You know, then there's also purifying the mind. You know, and so we make efforts because those instructions have been given to us by those great souls. We do our part. But like you said, the real purification is going to happen by the grace of the Lord. And that's all around us in so many ways. So it comes back to this point of opening our hearts, receiving, surrendering to that grace, surrendering to those blessings, and then asking now, how can I serve and give this to others? You know, that consciousness that we've learned from Srila Prabhupada, that attitude of service. So purification is not just me, like, you know, yes, it's completely dependent on the grace and the blessings, and I do things what I can for myself to work on myself, and at the same time, only by the Lord's grace can one actually achieve total purification. I hope that was helpful.
Prabhu, I just want to thank you for your your very helpful message of how to practice dying before dying, with that mood of anticipation of the Lord's grace, not resisting. We can do that in our situations in life.
Yeah.
Also a question. You mentioned the Chaturvyuha. You cited three of them and what they're in charge of. The fourth one, though, after Shankarshan. What?
Well, first was Vasudev.
Oh,
then Shankarshan, then Pradumna, then Aniruddha. So Vasudev is said to be in a completely transcendental state. He's not in contact at all with any of the... It's like the completely, like we talk about, you know, this... Vasudev consciousness, Prabhupada also speaks in one place. It's a completely transcendental, pure state always. And then the other of the Chaturvyuha, you know, Shankarshan, they're also completely pure in every way. They're always untouched by the material energy, but their functions now get involved in the material creation. And then therefore, the Purusha-shukta avatars that expand from those three, Shankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and these, they have their connection and relationship to the material energy.
Also, Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva combined.
Yeah.
Do you have any understanding of that, the relationship of those two, and why that they're contained in him? Or
I think that's beyond my...
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else has. Yes, Prabhu. Prangavan Prabhu, you have some? It's better to, yeah.
This is in Chaitanya Mangal, that when the news came that Lord of Golok is deeply thinking to that without pure bhakti, without love of Godhead, there is no meaning of existence in the material world. I must go down and do something. So news transmitted from Golok, slowly coming down to the Mahavishnus. The moment it arrived in the Mahavishnus, then Sadashiva was already there, and they are conversing. And then as soon the news came that, yes, he's just about to arrive in the material world, they immediately embrace each other. The embrace was so tight, the third form came out from that embrace. That was Advaita Acharya.
Yeah, there you go. This isn't Chaitanya Charitamrita? That? No? Chaitanya Mangala.
What came out from that embrace?
Advaita Acharya.
Prabhu, you mentioned that we are in the outgoing breath. Is that a calculation from Shastra? Or?
Well, a calculation?
How do we know we're in the outgoing?
Because when Mahavishnu breathes out, all the universes come from that, and then from there, different expansions. And so when he breathes back in, all the material existence is gone. It enters back into his body. So it's when he is breathing out, everything is manifest. Breathing in, everything is unmanifest.
So at the end of the breathing out, everything stops.
Stops. Just like when you breathe out, there's a moment, right, where it's a stop, and then you breathe back in. And then it enters into Mahavishnu with his in-breath. Yeah,
that's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we have a long, long time. But
so our inactivity begins way before we enter his body.
Yes, as things like, you know, the Bhagavatam describes the process of what happens when everything gets annihilated. You know, and there's, first the sun becomes more powerful and completely burns everything. There's a whole description like that, right? And so just imagine what living beings are like at that time. You know, there's no more water, there's no more vegetation, so this is a very long process. So at that point, you know, what are we doing? How are we living? And then rain comes for so long and covers the whole universe in water. So there are many steps that happen, and then breathing in. Yeah.
When you die, mother's
womb. Yeah.
So you're also
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a nice. Just see how everything's connected to what the Lord does. Everything happens the way it does for us because there's some way the Lord's pastime. It's also in the Lord's pastime, and therefore we have an experience. Prangovind Prabhu had his hand up.
You could also ask, why does he breathe in or out? I mean, what is he breathing in?
Yes.
But he doesn't even need to breathe.
He doesn't need to. Svarat. He's independent, but he chooses to do these things. That's the only way you can answer a question. Why does Krishna do this or do that? The only way to answer it is that he's independent and he chooses to do so. Right? Yeah.
I was... that's very nice. I really appreciate your classes. You prepare well.
Thank you.
I was thinking the analogy you gave about keep your heart open, Lord may intervene if you do not have. So I was reflecting Bhishma Dev's. It's such a instructive in our life. Because most of the Hindus, 99% Hindus, they are confused about Bhishma Dev. He's like quiet, Draupadi's disrobing. All this, and he joined in the other side against the devotees, against the Krishna, and again, how did he become Mahajan? So, of course, there's a beautiful pastimes, but in a nutshell, 2 points I always remember. He revealed that I know Krishna is the cause of all causes. Even when Arjuna was shooting at me, it was sanctioned by him. Everything is sanctioned by him. He's the sanctioning cause. But I never maintain resentment, hate against him. Because I always maintain that he is the cure of all my problem. And no resentment. Look at, now I am dying last minute. He is here. He is giving darshan. What more can I ask? The Lord Himself appeared in front of me, and I'm about to leave this world. Mm. What a glorious. Mm. So I appreciate that you brought that point. Mm. If we can learn that and remember that, never have a resentment,
yeah.
hate against any devotee or anybody, mm. especially Krishna, then there's a chance Krishna will appear right in front. So it's very nice. Thank
beautiful,
you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Ganesham Prabhu. So nice. I've just been encouraged to share this verse, which I found in the third canto. It just clarifies Prabhu's question about Garuda. Mm. So this is verse 34, canto 3, chapter 21. It's in, the chapter's called Conversation Between Manu and Karma. The purport says that in the Vedic literature, it is stated that the two wings of the transcendental bird Garuda, who carries the Lord everywhere, are two divisions of the Samaveda, known as Brihat and Ritantara.
Jai. Thank you. Thank you for that. Jai. Srimad.
You mentioned that we're like cell phones. All the information is out there. So is that how all these sages and saints gathered before Parikrit and Sukadev?
Mm.
They were picking up on some...
Yeah, somehow there was no microphone, there was no sound system, right? But so everybody was sitting completely attentive, focused, hearing all of it. So this can only be connected to the consciousness, the consciousness at that time. Had many abilities it doesn't have anymore. Therefore, we have to create them with science, you know? It's like these are all abilities of the human being. When we lose those abilities, then we have to find some kind of way to recreate it, and we do it through material energy. We create something called the microphone and sound. But formerly, these were actually all powers of one's own consciousness, you know? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have mystic abilities and powers have now become, the scientists have figured some things out by manipulating matter. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.